KNOM Update News. I'm Eva Delap. It's 9:02. A disaster emergency for communities affected by spring flooding has been extended by the Alaska Legislature. On Friday, the legislature approved the request from Governor Sean Parnell for an additional 30 days. The emergency was scheduled to expire on June 30th. The communities included in the extension are the Alaska Gateway, Yukon Flats, Yukon Koyukuk, Lower Yukon, and Copper River Regional Educational Attendance Areas. Repairs are still ongoing in many communities. Water, sewer, and power systems are being restored, while hazardous materials released in the floods are being collected and cleaned up. The disaster emergency extension continues provisions of housing, food, water, and other supplies for those evacuated. A federal disaster was announced by President Obama last Tuesday. FEMA is planning on sending disaster survivor assistance teams to flooded communities this week. The United States' only heavy icebreaker will soon be back in service after a four-year, $90 million renovation. KUCB's Audrey Carlson reports the Polar Star was scheduled to leave Unalaska Friday to undergo several weeks of ice trials in the Arctic. The 399-foot-long Polar Star is painted bright red. Its decks are clean and shiny, and brand-new anchors rest in neatly coiled piles of chain on the prow. Ensign Paul Garcia explains that this is all the result of a massive overhaul of the ship that wrapped up in 2012.
The engines were getting replaced, the main gas turbines were getting replaced, all of our cranes.
The ship also has brand new navigation equipment, new systems for lowering anchors and small boats, and a newly equipped gym and movie theater to keep the crew in good spirits during polar voyages that can last up to 6 months. Garcia says now that renovations are finished, the vessel will be heading up to the Arctic to perform icebreaking maneuvers.
Now we need to make sure that all our equipment is functioning correctly, that we're still able to withstand the same amount of force and break the same amount of ice that we were, you know, back in the 80s.
The U.S. still lags behind other Arctic nations with only two icebreakers in its fleet, the Polar Star and the Healy. And Congressman Don Young expressed concern at a meeting on Coast Guard readiness last week. He encouraged Coast Guard Vice Admiral Currier to not only increase the number of icebreakers, but also to lease American-made ships. With the passage of the Coast Guard reauthorization bill at the end of 2012, a third decommissioned icebreaker, the Polar Sea, could potentially be updated and put back into service. According to Congressman Young's office, the five-year Coast Guard capital investment plan includes $852 million to purchase and fix the Polar Sea icebreaker, with $8 million put aside this year to assess the ship's current status. The Coast Guard estimates construction on the vessel will be awarded within the next 5 years, with the Polar Sea ready for the sea in the next decade. Meanwhile, Russia plans to construct 9 new icebreakers in the next 10 years, and Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell has reported that Sweden may already have 4 icebreakers, Finland 6, while Canada operates 8 icebreakers. The U.S. House passed a bill Friday morning that aims to increase offshore oil and gas drilling. As APRN's Peter Granitz reports, the bill has no chance in the Senate. The House routinely brings up a similar bill to the one passed Friday, only to see it fester in the Senate. Before it approved the measure, the House voted down an amendment that would have banned any drilling in Bristol Bay. The bill creates a revenue-sharing system for Alaska, in which the state receives 37.5% of revenues. A handful of Democrats voted for the measure, but most opposed it, arguing it rushes lease sales at the expense of necessary environmental review. Arizona Democrat Raul Girvala is a senior member of the Natural Resources Committee. He says the bill is pure politics because the Senate will not pick up something he dubs a waste of time, and the president has promised a veto.
They're good political talking points, I think, for them, but it's really bad policy.
The Senate Energy Committee is tentatively scheduled to hold a hearing on revenue sharing July 9th. Both chambers are out next week for Independence Day. After 2 years of planning, 40 swimmers from 14 countries are going to take part in a relay next month, swimming from from Cape Dejenev, Russia's easternmost point, to Wales, the westernmost point on mainland Alaska. Angelique Duffield is the communications coordinator for the Bering Strait Relay Swim. She says the swim, with Russian involvement, is in honor of the 25th anniversary of the Friendship Flight from Nome to Providencia. But crossing the international dateline is not just symbolic. The Bering Strait Swim aims to strengthen connections between Russia and the United States and foster friendship and cooperation between the international participants. Once the team arrives in Wales, they'll move on to Nome, Fairbanks, and Anchorage for some celebrations.
There'll be a celebration at the Lend-Lease Monument, and they're also planning on burying a time capsule on Big Diomede Island, so that will be to commemorate the swimmers and the swim.
The swim will take place with swimmers hitting the water July 28th. 40 swimmers will be a part of the relay. One swimmer at a time will swim in 15 to 20 minute segments in just swimsuits.
And with 40 swimmers, they'll have a 9 or 10 hour rest in between, and they'll swim about 3 to 4 legs to complete the whole distance. And of course, the distance of the swim is going to depend on the currents and the weather. So they're anticipating it will take between 40 and 50 hours to get across the entire Bering Strait.
Claudia Rose was the first to swim across the Sitka Sound in 2009 and will be one of the swimmers from 14 different countries. With most Bering Strait expeditions unsuccessful, Rose says what convinced her this time was a legitimate program that the Russian government was involved in.
And I know that they've done a lot of behind-the-scenes work to work with the U.S. government to get permission, and that they actually want to welcome us there. Half the swimmers are from Russia.
To prepare, Rose and the other 39 swimmers have been swimming in water that's similarly cold. She lives in California and has been swimming in the Sierra Mountains, where water can be at around 39 degrees or less.
Your body adapts over time. You start creating a different kind of fat, brown fat, and your endocrine system stops reacting with panic. So all of the swimmers have had a number of years of cold water exposure before they got to this team, and they've begun to adapt, or else they've found there's somebody that does well with cold water. So a lot of the training is going back some years and having been in cold water a lot.
Rose also tries to find water that replicates the Bering Sea as much as possible. Big currents, big tides, big winds, and big waves. Rose, a recognized cold water swimmer, has done cold water swims as long as 4.5 hours. She would like residents of the Bering Strait to know that if you happen to fall into the Bering Sea by accident, don't panic. She says what she's learned is that a lot of people drown from cold water shock.
So people came to me after Sitka saying, I didn't realize you could live that long if you fell in the water, but obviously I was in the water for 4.5 hours swimming in just a swimsuit. So if you fell out of your boat, you probably could last longer if you could get your brain and your endocrine system to calm down. So aside from the adventure part, I want people to remember this. So if they get in trouble in cold water, they can try to get themselves to relax and survive if it's an accident.
If Claudia Rose and the other 39 international swimmers complete this swimming relay, they will be the first swim team to cross the Bering Strait. And there will be a temporary water outage on King Place in Nome, affecting customers between Spokane and Stedman. The water main will be shut down at 9 a.m., and the outage is expected to last approximately 1 hour, while utility crews repair a water main leak that just recently occurred. If you have any questions, please contact Nome Joint Utilities Customer Service Office at 443-6310. The price of gold in New York has risen $22.60, trading at $1,258.90. Silver has risen 9 cents, trading at $19.85. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is about 30 minutes behind schedule. It's expected to arrive in Nome at 9:23 and depart at 10:08. Unofficially 50 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.